AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we start the move from the transfer window back to on-field action. Storm damage rearrangement tonight between Celtic and Dundee as the hosts look to go back 13 points clear at the top. Elsewhere, Yanis Hadji is hoping to be added to Rangers' European squad coming out of the window, and Dundee United withdraw their involvement from the Scottish FA's KMI panel. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Cammy Bell and Jim Duffy. Big game tonight, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's important for Celtic, you know, to try and extend their lead at the top, you know, of the Premiership. Most people think that the title's done and dusted. It should be, but I think with the fact that he didn't get another striker in, it gives Brendan Rodgers more breathing space to rotate his squad if he has to do so, particularly with the Bayern Munich game coming up next week.
Yeah, again, as Jim says, an opportunity for Celtic to get that 13 points clear. They've got the Scottish Cup game this weekend coming up on Saturday night, and then a small matter of Champions League next midweek.
I've heard about that. I'm looking forward to it. 0141-951-1025. What are you thinking tonight then? Give us your thoughts on the game this evening. If you're heading along, it's always good for us when you're travelling along. Why not just give us a call? Share your journey to the game with us. Let us know what you're thinking. I don't suppose many of you Celtic fans are anticipating any difficulties. You did drop points at Dens not so long ago. Tends to be different at home, but maybe through the lens of the transfer window, because I have to say, Jim and Cammy, if you didn't hear it last night, was like peak Clyde One Super Scoreboard, where we asked fans to rate their transfer window out of 10, and we had some Celtic fans going from 2 all the way up to 8 and 9. We had a Rangers fan calling theirs a 0, and then others saying it was good. So we had a wide range of opinions. So I wonder about tonight, Celtic fans. We can do both at once, really. Through the lens of this transfer window, what are you expecting tonight? Should Jota start the game? There's one for you to kick you off, because Bayern Munich, as Cammy says, is a week away. How would you manage him? I know we're not sports scientists here, but he came on at the weekend, he scored. Does Jota start tonight? Get your predictions in. 0141-951-1025. Other than that, if you've any thoughts on the team or leftover opinions from last night, because like I say, what a split it was. We had so many different opinions. Some Celtic fans really, really unhappy with the window, others quite delighted, and of course others in the middle. So give us your thoughts, please. Rangers fans, we're going to hear some comments from Yanis Hadji on hoping to be added to the European squad. You can make three changes, you can make three additions, right? And I'm assuming he's a pretty obvious one, but maybe you could tell us, the others, Rangers fans, which of the three players would you add? Because you've signed Rafael Fernandez, Hadji, Danilo, Insiala. None of them were in the squad originally. So if you can only add three, which three are you going to add? Let us know. 0141-951-1025. And anything else that's out there, it's that same number at Clyde SSB. Do get your calls over to us. What did you make of the window at a glance?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect too much, you know, happening. I know some clubs obviously needed to do it. I know Aberdeen and, you know, signed a couple of players, and, you know, most teams tried to get someone in. St Johnson did. I think that there's teams that needed to freshen up, and there's other teams, you know, you talk about Celtic. I think everyone knows that they had to sign a striker. That didn't happen. But I think you've got to balance it out with, you know, keeping your squad as well strong. And I think most of the clubs, as far as I can see, you know, Cammy, kept their key players. There was no one lost any of their substantial players, any of the players that can make a difference. And I think that's something that sometimes goes a bit unnoticed in a transfer window. It's all about bringing players in, but sometimes it's actually just as important to keep your key players.
Yeah, no, probably the key player that left was Kyogo, and he obviously didn't get replaced. But again, they brought in Jota. I heard the chat last night about Jota coming in, and then you've got Adam Ede up front with Maeda can play there as well. So yeah, listen, there's it was a quiet window. It was quite a slow window, to be honest. I think a lot of teams kind of got their business done. Celtic getting Jota in, and obviously the Kieran Tierney news coming filtering through for the summer. So there is positivity there. It was probably just that one player they were missing, but it's a difficult window to get top strikers in.
Give us a call right now then, Celtic fans. Are you on your way to the game? What are you expecting tonight? I like these predictions, just black and white, yes or no, so we can all pretend we're the smartest predictors out there. Will Jota start tonight? What do you think? Is this the start of building up to the Bayern Munich, or does that come at the weekend? Will Jota start tonight? Should Jota start tonight? And anything else that tickles your fancy about the game, give us a call. Andrew McLean is going to set the scene for us.
Yeah, this is the game that was meant to take place the weekend of the Storms, but damage to Celtic Park meant that it was a safety issue, so it's a midweek appointment here at Celtic Park. You do wonder whether there'll be a mixed mood in the stadium, because of course it is the return home for Jota. You'd expect him to feature at some point tonight after scoring at Fir Park at the weekend. Just remains to be seen whether that is from the start or whether that will be off the bench, but it's certainly something that the supporters will be making their way here. We'll be delighted to see him back in action at Celtic Park, but we have heard it on the phones, especially last night, a bit of discontent at the fact that Kyogo wasn't replaced before Monday's transfer deadline. Brendan Rodgers, he admitted that it leaves them light in the second half of the season. Many supporters agreeing with that, but on the pitch it is a big chance to extend that gap at the top of the table back to 13 points with the Leicester game in hand over Rangers. As for Dundee, no deadline day business for them, but Lyle Cameron did agree that pre-contract with Rangers, so he'll head to Ibrox in the summer. Maybe not the place he'll get the best reception tonight, but he'll be hoping that he can make his impact and help his teammates bounce back from that hammering they took by Hearts at the weekend. Team news is probably about half an hour away, so I'll bring that to you when I get it.
Well, until such time then, come on, get the predictions in, Celtic fans. Will Jota start tonight? What do you think? 01419511025. We assume Adam Ida will, because of the Kyogo situation and so on, so we link it back there if you have any thoughts on the transfer window. Thomas is first through on the line. Let me just throw that on you, Thomas, for sport. Do you think Jota will start tonight?
Hi, Gordon. Hi. I don't think so, Gordon. Obviously, Bayern Munich the following week, so I don't think he won't start. I think I've got it at some point, but I don't think it will start again.
You too quickly. You agree with Thomas?
Not 100%. No, obviously we're not. We don't know. We're totally guessing. I think he might get a start. You know, and give him an hour. You know, if he's capable of doing an hour, he might give him up, particularly on the back of scoring the goal at the weekend. And at Celtic Park, they'll dominate the game against the D tonight. You won't have to do too much running back. So I think it could be an ideal opportunity to start him tonight.
Yeah, I think he will start tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what? An hour tonight. More than an hour if you can on Saturday evening, isn't it?
Yep.
Because there is no... We're now about to stray very quickly into the conversation about Kyogo, but there is no Daizan Maeda for the first leg of Bayern Munich. So this notion that he can play through the middle and he's an option, that's gone. So you kind of need Jota, don't you?
I think if Jota's... depends where he is and his fitness, but if he's fit enough tonight and Brendan Rodgers knows that the risk of injury is very low, then I think he'll start tonight and he'll play a big part in Saturday night's game as well, because he needs to get up to speed. He needs to get as much game time before Bayern as he can.
Yeah, what else are you thinking, Thomas?
Yeah, I got there. Obviously, my point was there, transfer window. Now, obviously, I knew for a while that Kyogo was wanting to leave. You know, and we've looked at this boy, Kvaratskhelia, for 2 years. You know what I mean? Whether or not Bayern or no, I mean, we never done it. We never bought him there. That's the boy we brought in loan. But I think, as I said to you, producer, I think this is a mad CD, but I think as Brenton keep getting the fans on board, because maybe if another comes in for another club, will he do the same as he done last time? Will he leave?
So what do you mean? You know? Why are you asking that? You think he's that unhappy at the failure to bring in a striker?
I think so, Gordon, yeah. I mean, obviously we knew, as I said, we knew Kyogo was going to be, so why did we not buy a striker? You know, why did the board not get Rodgers money and say they're going to buy a striker? We were looking at, as I said, Kvaratskhelia. We looked at it for 3 years and we were humping on about buying him. Obviously, we didn't buy him. But I just feel it could be the same situation as last time. I think if another offer comes in, I think it'll go. I really do.
Wow, it's quite a theory, because he at least outwardly handled it differently yesterday, where I said that it was like a masterclass in diplomacy, having been there. He was obviously annoyed, right, that Celtic didn't bring in a new striker, but it's almost like he's kind of saying he's new and improved in that regard, where he says, I'm not going to let it kill my joy, because they're in a pretty good place. And if you suddenly then turn this season of all seasons, which has been good, into a big doom and gloom because you haven't got a striker, it's counterproductive, but Thomas doesn't seem to be buying the positivity.
No. Thomas, there's absolutely no chance that will happen. I'm really confident in the sense of, as Gordon was mentioning there, I think Brendan Rodgers has been kept fully up to speed on the developments, the situation. Yeah, I think he was honest. He admitted that it's no secret. Every Celtic fan, the Celtic manager, wanted a striker. They knew that Kyogo was going. You're absolutely right. But the bottom line is, it's not about managers now. Managers can, they have a recruitment team who'll identify players, they'll discuss it with the managers, they'll have their preference, and then it's up to, the various departments who will then negotiate for that player, whether it's the transfer fee, the salaries, all these sort of things. And Celtic couldn't go over the line with, probably a couple of players. So there is a tinge of disappointment, but I think Brendan Rodgers is in a much happier place now than he was previously. I think the team is doing very well. If they win tonight, they go, is it 13 points clear?
Yep.
They're playing Bayern Munich next week in the knockout stages of the Champions League. They've already got one trophy in the bag. I don't think that there's any chance of Brendan Rodgers, a similar situation happening to Brendan Rodgers this time round.
How unhappy do you think he is? Because Thomas thinks he's extremely unhappy by the sounds of it.
No, he will be unhappy to an extent. But listen, as you say, look at the position they're in. They've already got one trophy this season so far. They're in a really good position. It looks as if they're going to win the league comfortably. They've got the Scottish Cup that they're moving along nicely, and they've got a huge two games coming up against Bayern Munich, which is going to be a massive challenge. Whether Kyogo was at the club or not, is that going to make a huge difference? I'm unsure. Yes, in an ideal world, he would have wanted a striker in, but I think the January window is a difficult one. It's a short window, as we know, for timescale. And again, I think the prices are really inflated in January because there's not a lot of players. You generally find players that aren't playing. They're the ones that'll move on. Your guys that are playing and doing well, their price is sky high because teams can hold the cards on that. So
I'm going to offer you this just as a response from Brendan Rodgers, because he could have taken that option yesterday, but he didn't. He was asked twice. He was asked those two separate questions. He was asked, did you feel like the prices were getting overinflated? And they said no.
Right,
he said,
okay.
I didn't see anything that I thought was untoward. And he said he thought it was a myth that you couldn't get good players in January. So whilst he wasn't outwardly raging and furious and slaughtering the board or whatever, he did kind of try and knock those two in
the
head.
I get the myth thing because of the signed Jota. But he's a top player.
But he said he didn't see anything too untoward with regards to price.
I think guys that that are playing currently and are doing well, I think the price is a little bit higher in January than it would be a summer window. Again, it's difficult to get teams to do deals in January as well. So, yes, he might be saying that, but again, the board might have other ideas. I think he'll be disappointing, but not too disappointing. I think he handled it very well as well, the way that he spoke, because, as you say, if he puts a negative spin on that, then I think a lot of Celtic fans can jump on the back of that, and I think we'd see a lot more negativity than we already do.
Thank you very much to Thomas. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers then. Says the window wasn't ideal, but believes they can still have a great campaign starting again tonight.
I go out that door and I've still got the same group of players, which I'm really happy with. Players that we win our game in hand, we go 13 points clear, we've 13 games to go. So we've won a trophy, we're in a playoff stage of the Champions League. We've had a fantastic season until this point. So I don't want to put any clouds over that there and take a narrative which is negative. You know, it still can be a really, really positive season for this until this point. It's been outstanding. So I want to continue with that.
What do you think, Paul, who's on the other line again, just for a bit of fun to see who gets it right? Will Jota start tonight?
I think Jota will start tonight. As I say, it's no disrespect to Dundee, but they get hammered for the weekend. We're at home. I think one of the panels said that they'll just maybe even chuck him on for an hour. We obviously Bayern Munich coming up next week to get him some game time.
because, to lead on to the point that everyone else is calling about again for the second night in a row, Paul, it looks like you really need him against Bayern Munich, don't you, with the way that forward line's lining up after the deadline day?
Well, again, I tend to disagree. I think Celtic's got enough firepower there. I mean, obviously, Kyogo was an exceptional player and would have liked to have had him there, but see, we've signed either for $9 million. Seen, obviously, last season he was great. He's not really hit the ground running this year, but again, he scored 2 goals against Aston Villa, took them really well as well. And I think we either, if he gets an extended run, I think we'll see the best out of him, because it's difficult if a striker's coming off the bench all the time. He's not getting a lot of game time, a lot of minutes to actually make an impact. So, yeah, I mean, as I say, that personally, I don't think we're any worse off going up against Bayern Munich.
I just mean in isolation for that first game, because Maeda can't play. I'm not saying it's a disaster. It makes very little difference to me. But specifically that game, with no disrespect to him, and I don't want Hugh Keevans phoning me because it's his favourite topic. If it's not Jota, then it's Yang. You know, this is, and I know everyone's saying it's the champion, it's Bayern Munich, and you might not have a chance of winning anyway. But surely most Celtic fans want, because of what's there, Kun, Ida, and Jota to start that game.
Yeah, well, Jota's a better player than Yang. I don't think there's any doubt or debate about that. But he's got to be ready to play. I mean, if you do play him against Bayern Munich, he's going to have to do both sides. He's going to have to be an attacking threat, but he's also going to have to do the defensive job, because you're playing against one of the best teams in the world. You know, so there's no doubt about that. And he has to be ready. So for me, he has to get minutes either in tonight and the weekend against Raith Rovers. In terms of you know, Adam Ida, as Paul was mentioning there, I do think he's already looks a sharper player and a player who maybe needed that confidence of being the number one striker, because he was always the second striker to Kyogo. I don't think there was any doubt about that, and that can affect your player, a confidence of player, because you know that even if you do well, it's every likelihood that you'll be left out the team. But the fact is, he is the number one striker, gives him an opportunity to establish himself and really put down a marker to anybody that the club may be bringing in the summer. And to do that, he's scoring goals. Obviously, he didn't score against Young Boys, but he very influential in the goal with the own goal. 2 goals against Aston Villa, a goal against Motherwell. He looked sharper, his touch seemed better. Particularly, I think, the type of goal he scored against Motherwell with the weekend. Yeah. I think even a few weeks ago, he wasn't as sharp as that, his movement. So I think he does look as if he's got a new lease of life. I'd be surprised if he doesn't score tonight. I think he's, you know, strikers get on that kind of run, he'll be believing he can score, and every time he scores a goal, his confidence will increase.
So, Paul, you think there's been a bit too much sort of doom and gloom coming out of this window?
Definitely, like I said, bringing in Jota, spent, I think, it was $8 million. Like, and I know they were looking at that striker. I'm even going to try and pronounce his name, but again, he's no. I think one of the panel was saying, I can't remember who, sorry, was saying obviously that he feels the prices are higher in January, and that's probably right. As I said, I think if you look at the position Celtic are in, he's 13 points clear if we win the night, already got a trophy in the bag, through the playoffs and going well in the Scottish Cup, then I don't know why we need to panic when we've got the guys that we've got there, especially bringing in Jota. And it's just, you know, sometimes I feel Celtic fans are a bit spoiled. Like, you know, they're doom and gloom about this transfer window. But realistically, if they'd have splashed the cash and got that striker for 14, 15 million quid, would it have helped it in the season? Probably not. Would it have helped us beat Bayern Munich? Again, probably not. Because you look at the players at Bayern Munich, they've got to get Kane, Sané, Kimmich, you know, they've got a cracking team right through. So I don't think it's the worst.
Does it not, see, in fairness to people who do want those things, Paul, I mean, you said spoiled, but is this not them just wanting Celtic to be the best version of themselves, rather than just stay better than Rangers and stay worse than Bayern Munich? Because you're right, you probably can do those things with what's in the building. Is it not just about trying to make hay while the sun shines, or whatever the phrase is, and try and keep strengthening?
He said from a point of strength. You know, that's the thing. I think that the last time, I think that, you know, Celtic fans were unhappy was that they felt they missed an opportunity to really put their foot down the accelerator when they were in a position of strength. They kind of eased off the gas a little bit. And I think this time round, Celtic fans are saying, no, we have got a big gap here. You know, we're better in all aspects, but particularly financially, particularly from a club's point of view. So therefore, put down a marker.
It's not, it's not their model to overspend. Yeah. They've never done that.
Let me throw it back to Paul because we're about push for time. Paul, just on that, you know, you say spoiled, but I can almost hear people who disagree shouting, saying they just want, you know, the standards to keep going up.
I agree with that, definitely. But the standards just now are already pretty high. And again, overspending on a striker now because Kyogo's left, is it going to make us a worse team? Is it going to push us backwards? No, I think, like I said, I think the board are happy to back Brendan. And I think in the summer we'll see Celtic make some more signings. As I said, at the moment, as I said, why would you overspend when you're already in a really good position? It doesn't make sense from a business wise. Like I said, I know the fans. I'm a fan. I want Celtic to do well. I want to see them bringing in the best players. And I say, look at the summer there. Obviously, we've done a great bit of business getting rid of O'Reilly, 25 million, bringing in Engels, bringing in Ida. You know, Kuhn's been brilliant since they brought him in. And as I say, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're not going to overspend just to kind of keep the fans happy, unfortunately. It's not going to happen.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to Paul. 01419511025. I think everybody thinks Jota's going to start so far. Do you have differing opinions? Give us your thoughts. Is it spoiled? Is it standard raising? What do you think? And what about you Rangers fans? Because there's going to be plenty build up from Celtic Park tonight. What about one for you to get on board with? We're going to hear from Yanis Hadji. Everyone assumes he's going to be added to the European squad, but you can only add three: Hadji, Danilo, Insiala, and you signed Rafael Fernandez. Which three do you add? How do you balance all that up? Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Cammy Bell are building up to kick off at Celtic Park. Let's hear a bit from Yanis Hadji, though the Rangers midfielder's hoping to return to the European squad after missing out the first bit of the campaign. He believes the team can go far in the competition.
I think it goes without saying that I want to be there. I've always enjoyed a European night, and yeah, hopefully I can help the team in those nights as well and not only in the domestic games. It's definitely special when you get that momentum. I feel like we're having that this season. You never know what can happen. We just have to take it game by game. I think we are in a part of the season where it's really important to focus on the next game. Just keep it cool, have a balanced life, and see where that brings you.
Gary's on the line. How are you, Gary? Gary not there. I thought he was there. Cammy, let's put it out to the Rangers fans. We said it before the news. What three changes do you want to make to this European squad, which you can now do? Hold on, I think we do have Gary. Gary, are you there?
Yeah, I'm
good.
Here.
Good man. What are you thinking about this European squad? I mean, Hadji's going to come back into it, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Who else, though? Which other two join him?
I think Danilo. Danilo has to come in. Even though we didn't have them two for the qualifying and stuff like that, but I think that's one of the reasons why he has to be put in. My question to you guys is that the big defender that came in for Ajax, I can't really pronounce his name properly.
Casanueiro. Ajax? Anyway, Casanueiro is, I think, the guy you're looking for.
And the other boy that went down to Millwall?
Yep, Zach Lovelace.
Were they not two in the Europa League squad already?
Yes, but I wonder. Zach Lovelace probably is on that homegrown list, wouldn't he be? Is it eight homegrown players? So I'll check the detail of that. But in the broadest sense, it's three changes, Cammy.
Yep.
Right. So unless I have missed something, but like I say, so I think eight homegrown players. So I think Zach Lovelace probably qualified as one of them coming through the academy. Anyway, I'll try and find out the finer detail. But Casanueiro could obviously come out of it. Kieran Dowell has gone. But what would you do? Because you've signed Rafael Fernandez. Are you signing a guy and then not putting him in the European squad? And Siala's been good. Hadji has to go in it.
Yep. No, for me, Hadji's the banker. He's straight in. Fernandez and Insialo. Danilo, I think I would put Danilo in. Again, just for...
Those were options at the top end of the pitch.
Totally, yes. I think that's what it brings you, is that option at the top end of the pitch. We've seen him have impact on games as well. And then as you say, you've got the decision between Ntialo and Fernandes to make that final spot. I'm unsure who you'll pick from that, but I think
what would you do? So Ntialo, like, on paper, it's not a big drama for him to miss out.
No.
But he also has the come in and played really well. Yeah. So,
and then I think you need to look at the situation with Balogun. I don't know where
he is.
Injury is. And if he's going to be out for a significant period, you would probably have to put Ntialo in.
Absolutely.
But if Balogun looks if he's going to be fit quite soon, then you would think, okay, we can afford to leave Ntialo, and then you would put, obviously, Danilo in. But, you know, sometimes circumstances, even though you want your striker's options, which is always good to have, sometimes if you're looking and you've got long-term injuries, obviously John Souter just coming back from an injury, you might think, well, if Balogun's not going to be fit, then Ntialo's got to be there, Hadji's got to be there, and then...
Hadji's a banker. He's definitely going to be involved because he's such a key player for Rangers at this moment in time. And Danilo, as I say, I would definitely have him in the squad because I've seen that impact off the bench. I think he can do it also at that big stage as well, so there's I don't think there's a big risk with putting him in.
Part of the selling for Fernandes.
Can you sign a player and leave him out?
You know, and then when you're talking to him and the manager's talking to him, saying, listen, about European football and these, you know, I know that it could be two games, it could be more than that. But ultimately, I think players, like we heard Hadji's interview there, talking about these type of nights, these are nights that are a little bit more special than the domestic campaign.
What do you think out of that four, Gary, then? How do you weigh up, like, Ntialo's recent good form and the fact that, you know, Rafael Fernandes has just been signed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's... we definitely need to have people in the defence, because we've suffered so much with injuries and stuff. Definitely bring in Hadji, because I don't even think Cortez is going to be playing until next season if we keep hold of him, or like, he just keeps injury prone. But yeah, I definitely think to bring them three in, but it was just a question because it's just with guys going and stuff like that. I just thought it would be, you could bring in, you know, an extra two players if guys are injured or left the club.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, three changes is the kind of headline act, and if I'm not even sure this contributes to this argument, but Zach Lovelace would have been on that B list, I think, as they call it anyway. But really, you know, Matondo wasn't even in the squad, to begin with. Dowell obviously drops out of it.
But Leon King got injured as well. I know it was concussion and stuff
but
like
again,
that. But
again,
these type of players
he's
are like
homegrown,
injured.
So.
That's the reason. Yeah, but I'm just saying in terms of defenders, you know, and James Tavernier's had to play centre back, and you know, everybody's getting shifted around. Do John Sterling been injured? So
Philippe Clement will know where all these players are fitness wise, how far away they are, and again, obviously, yes, there has been major problems at the back. Rangers will be hoping that's gone this season and they're going to have their players available between now and the end of the season, but I certainly would have Danilo and Hadji in the squad. And then I think it's between, obviously, Fernandes, your new signing, and Ntialo. As you say, would you sign a player? I think that's probably the carrot that he's dropped him, that he'll be involved in European football. So I would probably say Fernandes.
Can't be the goalie, he needs a real Jack Butland back. I don't know where the last season Jack Butland went to, but he's nowhere near the goalkeeper he was last season.
He's not. But again, he's had a sticky spell of it. Obviously, he's had his injury where he had that internal bleed, which was kept him out for a number of games. He's not had the season he's had last season. But again, he's still a top goalkeeper in there, so he just needs to find his form, and I think he absolutely will.
Thank you very much to Gary. I think it's a good debate for you Rangers fans to get your teeth stuck into, because it's quite a difficult one to come up with. I can't see the obvious answer staring us in the face, but maybe you can clear it up for us. Which three changes would you make to that European squad? Speaking of squads, we have our answer. We've been debating since the start of the show, what will the Celtic team look like? What we really meant was, will Jota start the game? Adam Drew McLean has the answer.
Yeah, the headline news is Jota is in from the start. So Celtic fans will get their wish. They will get to see one of the fan favourites make his first start since returning to the club this window. Jeffrey Schlupp is in the squad as well, the deadline day signing, but he'll have to make an appearance from the bench if he's to make his Celtic debut. So it is three changes from that win last time out. Ralston, McCowan and Kuhn come out. It's Johnston, Engels and Jota that come in. So Kasper Schmeichel in goal. The back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Arne Engels and Rio Hitati. It means Jota and Daizen Maeda are either side of Adam Ida up top. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Scales, Kuhn, Yang, McCowan, Schlupp, Kenny, Bernardo and Ralston.
What do you make of it, Celtic fans? Jota in from the start. 18 months after leaving, he's back and he's starting games. Mags is on the line. How are you, Mags?
Yeah, I'm all good, guys. How are we?
Good, thank you. Happy to hear that. Jota in from the start.
Oh, amazing. Do you know, Jota, we've missed him and we're glad to have him back. And I think that game the other day, he proved it. He's back and he's back with a vengeance.
Is that why some people, Mags, are, you know, looking at, there wasn't a striker brought in, but we're saying, yeah, but we brought Jota back. So that really softens the blow. How do you feel about it?
Personally, I'm not happy about the transfer window. I just feel that Celtic didn't make enough moves. I think we needed to bring in a big striker. I think, again, we've been tight with our pennies. I think I keep hearing this, and you know, it really irritates me, that I think what happened is they've seen the Champions fixture. They were like, Bayern Munich, oh, we're going to lose anyway, so we'll not try. And, you know, for me, like, I manage a lot of staff as well, and it's about motivation. It's about believing in your team. If you go in with a defeatist attitude, how do you expect your players to give 100% on the park? And I think it's absolutely appalling the way the board haven't backed Brendan and we haven't brought in more players this season. I really do.
Well, I've heard that argument, you know, this, because people, and you've offered it as well, and I'm not saying you're wrong to say, well, it's Bayern Munich, you might not beat them anyway, but fans like Mags want to see a bit more of an ambition, is the word, is that accurate?
No, I don't think there's a case of saying you won't beat them anyway. I don't think that, and I don't think it's a negativity from Brendan Rodgers' point of view or even the board. I think that it's an easy statement to say we should be bringing in more players, but you've got to bring in players who can either offer something different to what you have the quality that is good enough to play for Celtic, have the style that the manager demands. And, you know, if you add all those things and then you, of course, the, you know, fall in within the financial constraints of the club, you know, people can say, oh, we should bring in a player, we should bring in a striker. Well, I don't see too many names getting bandied about. I mean, I know there was Kvyatsson, or whatever his name is. You know, there was one name, but there wasn't many names getting bandied around. And we've seen down south with the mega millions they have that there's very limited options for a striker of real quality. So I think, yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers absolutely in Celtic wanted to bring in a striker, but I don't think there's too many options. And, you know, if Mags or any other Celtic fans can come up with, you know, really good alternatives that can add something to Celtic, then great. But no, I do disagree. I don't think it's just there's an acceptance that you can't beat Bayern Munich. Celtic at Celtic Park, you know, in the first game next week, you know, if we get everything right, can certainly beat Bayern Munich. I mean, it's going to be extremely difficult. We know that they're one of the top teams, but it's not impossible.
Why is it you see it that way then, Mags? You're not hearing what Jim's saying about, you know, just sometimes difficult to get players in?
I just think I've seen repeatedly this being seen constantly on social media and stuff, and I'm like, as a Celtic fan, I go in the belief. I go in 100% belief at every game. I go in every game as a winner, and we can't win them all, as we're aware of. But you've got to have the belief, you've got to have that determination, and that's something to go for. And I think a wee bit of belief behind them. And I do think they could have made more moves. I think Jota coming back, splendid, amazing, couldn't be happier. But again, like, we've got weaknesses all over the park, and we need to build on that. Like, if we want to strengthen ourselves and go forward, like people are saying, then wait to the summer window. To me personally, the January window is one of the strongest, because you bring a player in January, you've got a long time to build on them for the next season to take it 100%.
It's a very good point, especially yep. if you're playing Champions League qualifiers, yep. which Celtic haven't had to do in previous years, but will. I think it's a really good point, but we'll leave it there because it's time for me to tell you about this. 325k bonus payday. Don't leave it too late. Do not leave it too late. Your next payday could win you £325,000 for your chance to win it. Life-changing money, I'm sure we'd all agree. Text YES to 61025. 250 to text plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website at 250 4250, or call 0330880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Now, the lines close at 5pm on Friday. Don't do that thing where you think I'll get round to that and then you miss the deadline. You'll be kicking yourself forever, because if that phone rings and you answer it, that is all you need to do. The £325,000 not only would be yours, but it would be paid straight into your bank account after the call. It is a guaranteed winner. Somebody will win the lot. It might as well be you. Text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell is here, so is Jim Duffy, and we're asking you to get in touch on whatever you want, really. But most people seem to be interested in the Celtic game tonight. Jota is starting. The knock-on effect from yesterday's argument still rumbling on there about strikers and transfer windows and what Celtic could or should have done in the attacking areas. We're asking you Rangers fans. We heard a clip from Yanis Hadji there talking about the European squad and how he hopes to be added to it. I think everyone expects him to, but which other two players do you add? If you can only make three changes, what would your squad look like? We were actually just talking off air there. The whole managerial search at Fir Park seems to have gone a bit quiet. Wonder if you get any names out there for his Motherwell fans to chuck in. Now, before we had that break, we went and got the Celtic team news. The Dundee team wasn't out yet, and it is now. And a very interesting piece of team news, Andrew, which I think everybody will know who I am referring to.
Yes, Lyle Cameron, who of course signed that pre-contract arrangement with Rangers on deadline day. He will move to Ibrox in the summer. Tony Docherty, yesterday in his pre-match media, was waxing lyrical about him, saying how good he's been for Dundee. He's really stepped up this season, how he's going to be a big part of their plans for the rest of the season before he makes that move to Ibrox. However, he won't be a big part of the game tonight. He has dropped out the squad altogether. I'm told it may be an illness that keeps him out of this game. So he's out the squad altogether. Clark Robertson drops out the starting lineup, as does Samuels, in come Portales, Ingram and Finn Robertson. So it's Trevor Carson in goal, it's then Ryan Astley, Juan Portales and Aaron Donnelly across the back. Across the middle, Josh Mulligan, Finn Robertson, Mohamed Sylla, Cesar Garza and Ethan Ingram, all the way Sean Adewumi partnering Simon Murray up top. The substitutes, McCracken, McGee, Lakesh, Clark Robertson, Tiffany, Palmer Holden, Shaughnessy, Samuels and Lopez.
I take it will just, you take that at face value, he's injured or he's ill. My head was sort of trying to figure it all out, but there's no reason why you would leave him out. I know he's going to Rangers, but not till the summer, and I know it's against Celtic and those are Rangers rivals and the fans would probably boo him for a laugh, but it's none of that, can it be?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if Andrew knows for sure. Obviously that's the kind of, you know, information is getting fed out, but he's either ill or injured, so you would say for definite if you're Tony Docherty, because you know you're going to get asked that question. So he may just not have been in the right frame of mind for whatever, because this type of things happen.
Ah, that's not ill or injured then.
It's a little bit of a surprise.
But sometimes Tony, a manager, you tell a wee white lie just to keep the player happy, because if you need them for the next game, and he might just thought going to Celtic Park, maybe just again, maybe not the best environment for him tonight.
Tony Docherty's obviously said that he, waxing lyrical, as Andrew said, about how good his career's been with Dundee. I think when you sign a pre-contract, yes, they're playing, obviously he's going to Rangers and playing Rangers as rivals, and as you say, he'll probably get a little bit of stick. He'll get stick anyways because he's a top player and that's what happens. So, no, I'm surprised. I would think it would be an illness or an injury. I don't think it'll be anything else, because I think he'll want to play in these games as well. He wants to go and prove himself of being a top player, which he is, so he'll be probably gutted that he's missing the game.
Ah, sometimes it's the most boring reason. He'll be a poor boy's in his sick bed, listening on, wondering what the fuss is all about. Anyway, Scott is a Rangers fan from Ayr. How are you, Scott?
I'm all right, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Having a bit of a debate earlier, Scott, about which three players come into Rangers' European squad. What would you do?
I think Hadji definitely has to come in. Hadji's proven his worth the last couple of games, especially since the ongoing last time I listened to the show, obviously with the ongoing contract issues. I think since he's got his contract, he's kind of proved his weight. But I think I speak for our Rangers fans as well when I say that Rangers carry a lot of dead weight when we go in Europe. We carry players that were good when they first came in, and have tended to kind of flutter away and almost went under the radar, one of them being Conor Barron.
Yeah, it's an interesting journey for him this season. He's gone from being Rangers' best player to Scott wants him out of the European squad, presumably. But I'm not saying Scott's wrong, by the way. I'm just, you know, it just shows you how Rangers have changed within the season.
I think Conor Barron, to start with, overachieved when he went to Rangers, because I don't think many people thought he would be, you know, an automatic starter and one of the kind of main focal points of Rangers' play at the start. And he was, and he was thrust in. And he did very well, certainly better than I thought he would do at the start. But like a lot of young players, you know, his form dipped a little bit, as did the team. And he found himself out, and, you know, the pairing of Diamandé and Raskin, and particularly Raskin coming back in and finding real top for him, has meant that he's not found his way. But I think it's very harsh for Scott to call him dead wood. I think that he's a young player who came in, who had done pretty well, who still contributes, who still got, you know, a lot to offer. He's learning, there's no doubt about it. He's got a lot to learn. But I think he's a player still with potential, still with, you know, a bright future. And, you know, when you go to a club like Rangers, the competition should be high in the middle of the pitch, and it is. And he's just found himself, you know, out of the team at this moment in time. But I certainly think that's the type of players. It's like a bit like Lyle Cameron going there from Dundee. Rangers are in a different type of market to the likes of Celtic in terms of the, you know, the money they can spend. So they've got to look at young players with potential, and sometimes that takes longer for those players to come through because they're not signing the finished article.
Just out of curiosity, I'm taking the argument off on a slight tangent. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any way, and this would be a real dramatic change within a season, anyway, between now and the end of the season, Bailey Rice overtakes Conor Barron in the pecking order?
Interesting question. I don't think so. I think Conor Barron's still got a little bit in the bank. I agree he's went off it a little bit, but again, also what we've seen is Nico Raskin stepping up to the plate. I think it's probably the best football I've seen him consistently play. So we're probably comparing Conor Barron to Nico Raskin, whereas Nico Raskin's took it to another level, and this is the best I've seen him at Rangers. So yeah, he's had a little bit of a sticky patch. Does Bailey Rice jump ahead of him? I don't think so, but again, I think he will get opportunities between now and the end of the season to show what his worth is. He looks like a good young player. So it'll be interesting, but listen, I wouldn't write Conor Barron off yet. He's still only 22-year-old. He's very, very young. He's came into a Rangers Football Club, which is completely different pressure from what he was at Aberdeen.
And to be fair, in the context of Scott's question about, or the kind of general point, sorry, about the European squad,
yeah,
they have loads of options there. So Diamandé and Raskin will start.
Yeah.
And then if one of them's injured or suspended, then you're at Conor Barron.
You also get partnerships, Gordon. Teams, you get balance. And Raskin and Diamandé is a better balance than Raskin and Conor Barron. So, and the managers eventually, you know, looked at that. Diamandé's improved as well, because he was off the boil at the start of the season. You know, so yeah, I mean, it's about having options. And I think Conor Barron is a good option to have, as you mentioned, whether it's the last 20 minutes or going into a game to try and control the midfield or stiffen the midfield a little bit more. But I think it's very harsh to say that there's dead wood and just mention that young boy. I think there's other players in the squad that haven't contributed quite as much.
On that, you can take loads of loads of options really about who can drop out of the squad. Really, you know, spoken about Casemiro being injured. We said, you know, what's Leon Balogun's situation? John Sterling's been injured. Oscar Cortez seems always unavailable, and so on. But the real question, Scott, is like, who do you put in, isn't it? What, so you've said Hadji's nailed on, which I think everyone agrees with. Are you leaving out Insiala, who's the flavour of the month, or Fernandez, who's just signed, or Danilo?
I think I agree with the panel when they said that obviously the carrot's been dangled at Fernandez or European football, so you're kind of in a throw-up of Insiala or Fernandez. Personal preference, I've not seen Fernandez play, so it's a wee bit biased, but I would probably go with Insiala. He's came in, he's proved his point. He was a wee bit shaky at the start, but I feel like he's just settling in.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, and you can make a case for both of them, certainly. So thank you very much to Scott, which takes us almost perfectly up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, beat the pundit time. Your chance to win a signed ball. Get the bragging rights. Come on here and get some glory on tonight's competition. It's 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7. So be quick.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Cammy Bell are in the building. 0141 951 1025. That's the number that you need. So give us a call if you want to air anything this evening. We're building up to kick off between Celtic and Dundee. Jota is starting. How pleasing is that for you, Celtic fans? Is this the start of him on a trajectory towards starting against Bayern Munich, which incredibly is a week away? What do you make of that team? We're still rumbling on from yesterday about the lack of striker being signed. We're asking you Rangers fans, and it's a good debate because nobody has come on with a kind of cast iron opinion or guarantee of the way it should be, which tells you how much in the balance it is. Which three players would you add to the European squad? We're all assuming that Hadji's one. I don't think there's much of a debate there. But who are the other two? What would you do there? I've been asking earlier on as well. I don't know if you've gone quiet, Motherwell fans. You're just waiting to find out. Not really heard too much about this managerial vacancy. So what are you thinking? Any names out there taking your fancy? Give us a call, please. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Always good last night. Gordon DL defeated on Beat the Pundit. I think it's because he's because of his Botox that he's got. I don't think he can answer quite as quickly because the contestant got more questions.
I heard that.
And Gordon was complaining about the speed, but I think that's what it is. I don't think he can speak as quickly now because his face is stuck.
Every cloud.
Listen, doing all we can really to limit these words per minute, but we move on. John is playing tonight. How's it going, John?
I'm doing very well tonight, guys. What about yourself?
Yeah, no complaints in here. John, you're a Rangers fan?
Yes, I am indeed.
Right, go on then, weigh in. Who's going into this European squad?
Hadji, Ntiala and Pass.
Ah, see, nobody's sure.
It just shows you how hard it is to be a manager. A manager has to pick and leave somebody out. And every time you leave somebody out, you get stick.
There might not even be a third change. It might just be the two.
Oh, that shakes things up. That makes life even harder. John, don't know why he's taking that option.
You'll add the full quota.
I'm going to test John's theory after this. Let's get the quizzing out the way, and then I'll get John to back up that theory. Heads, it would be Jim Duffy. Tails, it would be Cammy Bell. But John, you are a winner in my eyes and in the eyes of Scotty Brand Beetroot Chips already, because everybody who plays this week gets a box of these. And I know what you're thinking, and I don't think the people at Scotty Brand would mind, but we're here to break down misconceptions. Think beetroot chips, they're actually very good, honestly. So you want to see how popular they are in this office?
Yeah,
they're coming out our ears in here because we're giving a box away. So we're sending a box to the borders where John is. I was going to say you could.
No,
you could, you know,
you've said this before.
I'm doing that Glasgow thing, yeah. Where I think like everybody south of Motherwell is just next to each other.
Whereabouts in the borders, John?
A wee place called Dinner Leeson. It's close to Peebles.
Oh, right, okay.
It's probably about an hour for you, isn't
miles
it?
Miles away from me, aye.
I'm doing that. I know.
It's never in 20 minutes for Glasgow.
It's two bags of crisps away if you're eating them on the way.
I'll tell you how my mind works. See when you're on the M74?
Yes.
And you pass the towers at Muirhouse?
Yes.
Anything south of that, it's all the same to me. Yeah, I think you're John's next door neighbour, miles as far away as I'm concerned. Right, anyway, I didn't even toss the coin there, did I?
No.
Too busy worried about geography.
You don't even know which heads or tails.
I know, your heads. You're in the head seat. But it is tails. It's Mr. Borders himself.
Okay.
Cammy Bell. So, right, what we do here, John, is give him something else in his lug so that he can't hear you. I'm sure you know the drill. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Nice one.
Let's do it. 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. What was the score last time Celtic met Dundee?
3-0.
Who was Ayr United's manager before Scott Brown?
Pass.
To what 90s pop song did Rangers fans sing about Scott Arfield?
Wingfield Saturday Night.
Name any of the top five longest serving managers in the SPFL.
Derek McInnes.
What is the name of Celtic's mascot?
Hoopy the Huddlehound.
What surname links footballers Ray, Rab and Cole?
Pass.
Which team stayed in the Scottish Premiership via the playoffs last season?
Last season,
Quick.
Ross County.
Oh, give you it. In the nick of time. Cammy, are you ready?
Yes.
Good. Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What was the score last time Celtic met Dundee?
3-0.
Who was Air United's manager before Scott Brown?
Lee Bullen.
To what 90s pop song did Rangers fans sing about Scott Arfield?
Not a clue, pass.
Name any of the top five longest serving managers in the SPFL.
Petrie.
What is the name of Celtic's mascot?
Pass.
What surname links footballers Ray, Rab and Cole? That's tough.
Ray, Rab and Cole. Repeat that question.
What surname links football Ray, Rab and Cole? Tough. Any tough? No. Three.
Douglas.
Two. One. What do you think, John? Done enough?
I didn't do fantastic, but I'll beat him.
Did you?
Oh, aye.
You see, it's always it's like the cliche of doing the getting the first goal in a game. You need to get that first one. 3-0. Have you forgotten?
3-3.
The six goal thriller. Aye, so remember it? Six goal thriller. But John got it 1-0 up. You did equalise. Lee Bullen,
yeah.
Was before Scott Brown. It's back and forth, a basketball game this, because John's a Rangers fan, and I know you have your leanings as well, but I can't see you standing in the terraces chanting to the tune of Saturday Night by Wigfield.
No.
Not even ringing any bells.
It's not, to be honest.
I don't suppose you know it, Jim Duffy.
I know the song, Saturday Night.
You're giving us a.
Go on, John.
Come on, John, tell us.
I was actually listening to it last night on YouTube Shorts, to be honest.
Because he signed for Falkirk.
I had popped up.
There you go.
Facebook,
there you go. Nice. John doing the dance round about his living room. Right, okay, so it's 2-1 to John. Cammy equalises again, though, because Derek McInnes is not one of the top five. You've got Dougie Samuel at Spartans by a mile. Now, there's a slight caveat because they've not been in the SPFL for all that time, but he's still the longest serving. So Dougie Samuel, Stuart Petrie, Davey Martindale, Stevie Farrell and Dougie Imrie apparently are the top five.
I just took it as premiership.
Yeah, see, so it's 2-2. However, again, back to John. Hoopy the Huddle Hound.
I would have never got that.
No?
No.
I thought it was just
listen.
Do you look at mascots?
Nah, certainly no Celtic.
I think that's the type of thing, to be fair, right, that a fan is just much more likely to know than a player. You're just not. See, speaking of which, though, to go off on a major tangent, did you see this video that's appeared? That I think it was like the English Premier League put it up, or one of the broadcasters, where it's guys from the English Premier League and they say like a football phrase to them, you know, maybe like an old school phrase or something, and they've got some foreign players, some non-English speakers, but they've also got some English speakers there. You've not seen this, no?
No.
So the phrases are like hoof it. Like, what does hoof it mean?
Right,
like,
okay,
stuff like that. Some of the English speakers don't know the most, like, basic.
Put it in the onion
it's
bag.
That's one of them. Have you seen it?
No.
Right, that is one of them. That is one of them, right? Yeah. Postage stamp.
Postage stamp, yeah.
Some of the English speak, and I don't mean English speaking, I mean English players didn't know what postage stamp meant.
Which person do you know that's under a certain age has sent a letter?
I know, but still.
Or a card with a stamp on it.
If you're a footballer, aye, you've heard that.
You would have thought so.
Anyway, you've never heard the Hoopy the Huddle Hound. I don't know how I got there. This was really tough. Ray, Rab and Cole.
Palmer's only one I would have thought.
McKinnon.
Ray McKinnon was my manager about three times as well.
There you go. So it's 3-2 to John, and he had a bit of time to rub
one,
put the salt in the wounds, because you didn't get this far, and I think you'd have got it as well. Which team stayed in the Scottish Premiership via the playoffs? I gave him
Ross County
time to answer it, and I don't feel guilty because he had enough points on the board anyway. 4-2 to John, because it was Ross County. Well done to you, John.
Well done, John.
Right, but enough about that. You've won the crisps and the ball, but I'm still not having this that Rangers are only going to put two new players in their squad. How's that going to work?
He'll probably make the third change, but honestly, I've got no idea who's going to take out or put in.
Who would you do it though, John?
Nsiala or Fernandes, we think we've boiled it down to.
Good point.
How'd you weigh it up?
We forgot about him because he's only had 10 minutes of appearance.
But he's a new signing, you'd want to put them in, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd imagine so, but sometimes we come on, you never know. So
I think we found a debate that's too hard. I was hoping people would have like strong feelings on it. I've now realised at 7:10, we're just tossing a coin. Yeah,
I said before, it just tells you how hard the manager's job is. He's got to pick players every week, and he's got to leave players out, and you know, even just in a squad. three in a 20, was it 23 man squad?
Because he was frustrated previously, wasn't he, Philippe Clement? Because he inherited a situation where certain players were, who was it again? Who was the debate around last? Was it last season? Presumably, there was somebody that he want, or was it just Hadji from earlier this season? But anyway,
again,
but now it's his decision.
He's signed Fernandes, as we said before. For me, I think that's part of the conversation to get him to come to the club. He'll have obviously seen a lot more of him than the Rangers fans and myself have seen of him. So yeah, I would imagine he's going to be part of it, because again, that conversation's probably been had to get him to come to the club. So
well, how's your conversation with Clinton and Ciala then? Come in, you've been brilliant, son. Congratulations.
Probably a little bit easier though, because he's a young player and he's only just came in. So again, it's probably a little bit easier.
Yeah, but he's also going to be involved in domestic matches. It's not as if you're binned from a squad. It's just this European squad that you know, you might not miss out. And if you're a young player, I don't think it's as impactful as it would be if you're a new signing.
Just while I'm on a run, but we'll get back to this, I'm sure, in the coming months, since he's getting talked about. Think Yanis Hadji will sign a new contract at Rangers?
I hope so.
That's not asked you.
I'm unsure, to be honest. I don't think so. I've got a funny feeling he won't, but I would like him to, because I think he's such an influential player. But I just feel as if something maybe bubbling in the background, obviously, and again, finances might dictate to what Rangers can offer him as well.
Oh, honestly, do you know the beat the pundit equivalent of like a backseat driver is? Mm-hmm. See the pundits that aren't even on the show but still want to get in touch and complain.
Who
Bartley
is it? What's he saying?
Whinging because he says, I basically gave you 30 minutes for the last question. We didn't even get it right, so what are you whinging about, honestly?
You still get beat, I know, it doesn't matter.
30 minutes for my last
he
question.
He says I gave you too long for the last question.
He wouldn't have known that anyway, so what's he talking about?
It's ridiculous. Anyway, I hope everyone who's going along to the live Hibs podcast with Marvin Bartley tonight is a rip-roaring night. What a way to spend your Wednesday, that is. Anyway, 01419511025. Thank you to John for giving us his thoughts there. We are on Twitter as well, as always. I'll possibly get around to calling it X at some point. But Twitter for now, whilst I'm in the habit, at Clyde SSB. Andrew McLean, don't overstate it. It's not the end of the world either way, but on Lyle Cameron watch, he can't be that ill because he's there. You can see him, he's on the pitch.
Yeah, I've just heard conflicting reports. Initially heard it was an illness, but now there's talk that it's an Achilles injury. So he is here, he has been walking about. So he's been with the squad as his support team, but is unable to play an Achilles injury rather than an illness.
Ah, but is he limping? That'll be the next question. Anyway, he's not involved tonight, Lyle Cameron, so he will watch on as his teammates try and cause a shock at Celtic Park. 01419511025 is the number Andy has dialed. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. What are you thinking tonight?
It's basically just about the sort of a remnants of the transfer window. Mm-hmm. I think the Celtic board over the last two or three months have been relatively heavily criticised because half the support believe they paid too much money for Engels, and they paid too much money for Adam Eder. So you can't have it both ways. If Celtic feel they weren't getting value money for the big fella, Chris for Bronby, then they're quite right to leave it to the summer because it's no necessity. It's not a good look that Kyogo goes out and we don't bring another striker in, but it's not the end of the world.
I take that point. Andy's kind of saying, can't have it both ways. You know, if you think you've pushed the boat out too much on Eder or too much on Engels, can you keep doing that for Fitzgarden or whoever?
Yeah, Kev Watson. I mean, I think that it's the frustrating thing for everybody, but including Brendan Rodgers, as you could hear in his interview, is that he himself mentioned that Kyogo had said several months ago. So they've had several months to plan. It's not as if it was it's like the week before the transfer window closes, oh, I want to go. So I think Celtic have obviously targeted players and it's just nothing materialised because he knew it. But, you know, like Andy's saying there, you know, if you pay slightly over the odds, which most people think they did for either Engels or Adam Eder, but they are young players, particularly in Engels' case, you know, a lot of people think that if he does fulfil the potential that they believe he does have, then that will be money well spent. I mean, and Celtic have seen that obviously just recently with Matt O'Reilly in particular. You know, sometimes it does take a bit of time. Coon's another one, you know, it didn't, you know, hit the ground running, but now looks as if it's real value for money. Well, it is real value for money, there's no doubt about it. So, yeah, sometimes it takes a little bit of time, and patience is not the virtue that many fans have. They want everyone to hit the ground running, and it doesn't always happen. But, you know, Celtic are in a very strong position this season. They still have a lot of options in pretty much every position. And I think Jeffrey Sloop is actually a good sign. I think he's very underrated. I mean, he's played a lot of games in the you know, the top level English football. He can play left back, he can play left midfield, he can play centre midfield. He's got an eye for a goal, particularly the way Brendan Rodgers likes to play with the inverted fullbacks. Mm-hmm. I think he's ideally suited, he's powerful, he's quick. So I think that's a good signing. And, you know, unfortunately for the boy, he's not actually getting, you know, there's hardly a mention of him because Celtic haven't signed, you know, a striker. He's been under the radar a little bit. But I think that is a very positive signing. So, I mean, Celtic are strong in pretty much every department.
Andy, is there a happy medium that maybe could have been struck where, you know, you're right, if the conversation is don't overspend and so on, a Jeffrey Schlupp type to boost the numbers in attack? Could you have gone a short term loan and try and get your guy in the summer, or do you not think that was worth it?
I don't think for a minute that the Celtic board hadn't tried that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably tried it with Danny Ings. You know, they've not. It's, I mean, people have to understand Celtic are one of the best run football clubs in the world. Never mind Europe. So we've no got where we are by accident. That board know what they're doing. And, you know, I know Brendan's disappointed, but Brendan's a bit like a chef in a hotel where he wants all the top ingredients, but he doesn't know how to ask somebody for 50 quid. So, you know, the fact is, you know, Brendan's a football manager, and the board are the board. The board have to take care of the business, and they have to do what they believe is right. And the history tells you that they've made more right decisions than wrong decisions.
So that's a really interesting point, that, because I think, well, we do this with everything in football, but a lot of people get really entrenched in their view and then they won't really change that. And it's funny, Andy's saying, you know, the board always get it right. The funny thing about this conversation, we had people last night sort of using this as the latest in a line of examples where the Celtic board have got it wrong. You know, and saying they always do this. This is history repeating themselves, underprepared or don't back the manager. But to be fair, we've just come off the previous window where they spent a fortune, as Andy has alluded to.
No, listen, the board dictate when they spend money and when you don't. Ultimately, the manager, yes, Brendan Rodgers will be disappointed. I think probably the big disappointment is they've not brought a body in, whether it be a loan. I don't think they can go out and get that top striker they're looking for in this window. I just don't think he's available for the finances that Celtic were willing to spend. As I said, for me, this window is very inflated. I think it was possibly a loan that might have came in between now and the end of the season that would have filled the gap. But yeah, listen, the Celtic board have done a great job. Their model is they bring players in, they move them on, they sell them. Yes, Brendan Rodgers wants more players at his disposal. Of course he does. He wants as strong a squad as he can. But the time was right for the board to sell Kyogo. He wanted to go. They got the money that they felt the value was for him, and they moved him on. And again, that's just Celtic's model. But I think Brendan Rodgers' frustration is that nobody came in the building. And I think that's probably the big frustration.
Thank you, Andy. 01419511025 is the number, so give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Jim Duffy are here, and it's 0141 951 1025 for you to join us on the phones as well. So please do. Plenty of time left. We're building up to kick off, which is what, 20 minutes away? Between Celtic and Dundee. It's a rearranged game from the storm damage, and the chance for Celtic to go 13 points clear at the top. A very strange build up this for Dundee, who are on a lovely wee run, mostly at home, with the draws against Celtic and Rangers went up there and
beat Dundee United in the cup.
Mm-hmm. And then they lose 6-0 at home to Hearts. Incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I hadn't really looked too much about Dundee's position in the league because I thought they were doing actually a bit better. And then you look and you think, wait a minute, they're only a couple of points away from being second bottom now. It looks as if St Johnstone have still got a bit of a gap there. But, you know, they really need to find some sort of level of consistency. They have been a team who's made, I think, you know, Tony's a lot of injuries. He's brought in a number of players. I think he's still searching for that correct balance. He's made changes again tonight with the likes of, obviously, Lyle Cameron going out. Robertson is sitting out. You know, he said players, you know, injured, as I said, he can't quite get the balance. But I think he's got to try and find a system and a kind of a group of players there that he's happy with and stick with it, because that inconsistency, I say, could end up costing them towards the end of the season. I think most people mm-hmm. thought a few weeks ago they'd be targeting mm-hmm. the top six. There's still a chance of that, because I think there's only a few points away from it, but they're closer to the bottom than they are to that.
Problem with the table, nobody is really in a good league position apart from the obvious. Yes. Nobody, you know, and you would say, look, Hibs have got momentum and so the Hearts, so I'm not mm-hmm. saying they would be worried, but if you were just looking at the points column, apart from the top three, nobody's really in a what you would call a guaranteed safe position.
I mean, when you look all the way down to Ross County could get in the top six if they get a decent run put together in the next few games, then they can get in the top six. So it's the same for probably all the way up to Hibs. Again, yes, they're in good form at the moment, but we've seen Aberdeen's an interesting one. Again, 14 games without a win. Could they drop out of the top six potentially if they keep going the way they're going? I think their fixtures are a little bit favourable towards them. If you look at them between now and the split, they should win games. But again, they've not won games for a long time now. So, yes, it's very, very interesting, that bottom half. Dundee took an absolute battering on Saturday. Though it was incredible. It could have been 8 or 9. It was genuinely an absolute battering. So this isn't the game they want to face going to Celtic Park.
We're about to speak to Sean. Let me set up your teaser quickly. You don't even need to give me any answers just now. I'll just set it up. A big thank you to Colin in Falkirk for sending this question in. He wants you to name, since season 14-15, 9 goalkeepers have made at least 10 appearances for Celtic or Rangers in a single season, and they've not had the squad number 1. Okay, so since 14-15, 9 goalies have made at least 10 appearances for Celtic or Rangers in a single season, but they've not officially been number 1. I don't mean first choice, I mean in the back of their jersey.
Segrist?
Nope.
Bain,
Scott
Bain. Yes. Okay.
McLaughlin?
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there. I even said I didn't need any answers just now, and then I went back on it. Apologies. Sean is in Maryhill. How's it going, Sean?
I'm glad you didn't throw that question my way, Gordon. I'd have bottled that.
Don't you worry. These two are going to squirm between now and then trying to come up with it. Sean, what made you call tonight?
Well, first of all, how are you doing, lad? You all right?
We're all good. Yeah, all good. All good. You? So, more importantly?
I'm good, mate. Good. First time caller. I'll be honest with you, lads. Can I want to just plead with some of the other Celtic fans? Because all I'm seeing the last couple of days is negative stuff constantly. And I think that's why the problems with social media with football now seems to have made a negative impact than a positive one for supporters anyway. Because you look at things, we've qualified for the Champions League knockout stages for the first time in, 12, 13 years. That's a dream itself. That's what everybody wanted for the last decade. People have been crying out for it. The club helped us deliver that. Like, that was everybody, top to bottom, players, board, manager. Then we've won a cup this year. We're storming the league title. And yet you'd think it's the end of days with the way people are going on the last couple of days. I know that there's been a bit of issues with the transfers and stuff like that, but the club done everything they could. I honestly believe they've done everything they could to bring in a quality striker, and they've obviously not got who they wanted. So I get some of the frustration, but people are going way overboard. What's your thoughts on that, guy?
Do you think, just, I think it's a great point, Sean. Just wanted to ask you then, do you think that's why Brendan Rodgers handled it the way he did yesterday? You know, those comments about not wanting to let it ruin his joy. He was trying to sort of remind people of, like, I don't think he wanted to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. He wanted a striker, but he was trying to remind everyone of the positives.
I think the problem as well is he said some stuff recently in other interviews before this that kind of made it seem like we were going to get somebody in. Now, obviously, like I said, I believe the club done everything they could, and obviously they didn't deliver this time, but look what they have delivered this season alone. We've brought in a really promising young centre midfielder on Engels, right? That's a lot of money we've spent bringing him in, more than what we usually do. Everybody that I know wanted Ida in, brought him in as well. Maybe they paid over what we usually do for a striker of that calibre. But he's a young boy, and I really do think he'll come good for Celtic. Cracking player, a lot of potentials. People need to stop getting on both of their boys' backs as well, because the price tag's not been put by them. The club paid what they have to pay in the day's market, and that's just the price you pay when you want to go get quality that you can invest in and bring more money back into the club. And that is the way we've survived and progressed as a club. And that's why, I honestly believe that's why we got to the kind of knockout stages through the club's investment in these players.
No, I think Sean's spoken of a lot of sense there. one of the most common sense approaches of how Celtic have done their businesses that we've heard in a long time, and I admire Sean for that. And it's up to people and fans like Sean to counteract the negativity on social media and that, to go there and be positive, not to have an argument with people, just to put positive statements, because I do think that in most things the negativity is louder than the positivity. Mm-hmm. And I think it's up to the people who are positive to say, right, wait a minute, we're all in this together. You know, Sean mentioned the players, the manager, the board. I tell you what, I was at the Young Boys game there. It's the fans have to take an enormous amount of credit. The atmosphere at Celtic Park on a European night is absolutely electric, particularly at the start of the match. The noise level is up to another level in terms of, you know, the atmosphere. It's an absolutely wow moment, you know, when you're sitting there. And I think the fans deserve a lot of credit. Yeah, of course, fans always want more, and you know, they're always, you know, wanting their club to push the boat out. But there's so many factors. I was talking to Cammy earlier on about it. You know, when it comes to bringing players in, it's not just whether you'll pay the transfer fee or whether you pay the wages. You know, there's agents involved, there's the player himself. You know, does he want to come and play for Scotland? Even at a club like Celtic, you know, all of those things, you know, that are part. Does he, you know, culturally, does he feel comfortable? Does the style of football suit him? You know, there's a multitude of things that can impact whether a player makes a decision or a club makes a decision, where that club is in that particular time of the season. There's so many factors. It's not as straightforward. I do agree, but, you know, that the Celtic would have loved to have brought someone in and probably should have got someone. But, Sean's there and given terrific examples of the business plan for Celtic. Listen, going back many, many years, Celtic have signed temporary experienced players, Craig Bellamy, Ian Wright going back in the day, Robbie Keane. You know, some have been more successful than others, when they're bringing in players. But nevertheless, Celtic are in a fantastic position just now, and I do believe it's up to the fans who agree with that to be more vocal, and try and make sure that other fans have that view as well.
Unfortunately for you, Sean, because you know the way this works, see if Celtic have any bumps in the road, no matter how small, and heaven forbid for Brendan or for the Celtic board, big ones, it's the first thing that's going to get mentioned, isn't it, in the next couple of months.
Right.
Okay, we'll come up again. This wouldn't happen if we'd signed a striker, which might not even be the reason, but that's what's going to get brought up, isn't it?
It is, and you know, the other thing is, I'll add Freddie Ljungberg to that list that you just gave I'd rather we didn't sign Endy than sign a marquee signing who just comes in and takes a wage off the club and doesn't get what it's all about, because there's no point in that. Doesn't help anybody. You're just adding a player in there for the sake of it because of the name. I mean, I'll also, even you go down the route of Amido Baldi, a couple of million Celtic spent on Amido Baldi, never done anything. Mo Bangura, a couple of million, never done anything. You can go Azeti, who looks promising, a couple of million as well.
I think he was close to five million.
Between that, I think you've got the value of what they've spent on that player, Laida and Engels, and you can see what happens when they take their time and they get the signing right. Because I do enjoy the loan model that the club. I know people bash the loan signings, but see, if we'd done the loan signings, we wouldn't have won that cup against Rangers in that final last year. The two difference makers were on loan, Bernardo and Ida. And look at what they've done. They were the two players that made the difference. If we never brought them in loan, I don't know if we won that cup final. And the club have been rewarded with that, because now we've brought them in permanently. And they're flourishing. I mean, they're doing well for the club. I know Ida had a bit of a struggle around the games. I never had any doubt Ida would come good. I think he's cracking, I honestly really do. I think he's brilliant with his feet for a big guy. I think he offers a lot because he can drop deep. And he's quite quick for his size as well. I honestly really do think he was a great signing.
I think Andy Halliday would back you up. He was talking about having the eyewitness account at the weekend. Said that was something that struck him, how quick
he was.
Quick Adam Ida was. I love your
compared to Andy's.
Well, listen, that's, aren't we all? The positivity from Sean, I do like. Sean, let's end on a positive then. How excited are you to see Jota back in a Celtic starting lineup tonight?
Honestly, couldn't be happier. And that's another thing the board have done for us. The fans were crying out for that as well. See, since Jota left, I think everybody, you've probably seen it yourself and heard it. When that wasn't going well for him in the Saudi, everybody I know, every Celtic fan wanted him back. That's all you would see online, that's all you would hear. And now the club have helped us do that. Yes, we've lost a great striker in Kyogo, but if he wanted to leave, I don't want a player in the club that wants to leave anyway. And I've heard a few people say we should have just kept him and let him go in the next window. Why? Why would I want a player there that doesn't want to be there? That's not good for the dressing room. It might be good for some supporters, but I think you saw the last few months there, guys. He wasn't at his best. You know what I mean? He was playing well, but you could tell he was a guy that didn't want to be there. There was just something all right. So them bringing Jota back, dream come true. It was like a fairy tale, him coming on and scoring the goal there as well the other day. Couldn't you be happy for the guy?
I'm glad you enjoyed it. It wasn't a fairy tale fool where I was sitting, I have to say. I let my personal feelings get in the way of that one.
No, I think Sean makes a lot of really good points as well. I think Engels will grow. He's only 21-year-old. We need to remember ourselves that. Yes, he came with a price tag, but I think he'll become a fantastic player. You look at Nicholas Kuhn, it took him time to get going. He's only 25. Jota's only 25. They paid $8 million to bring him back. Listen, 2-3 years, 2 years' time, Jota could be sold again for much more money if he goes and does what he done the last time. So,
and then bring him back again.
Yes, aye, when he's older. Yeah,
and best business of all time.
But again, I do think
Tierney's won it. So aye, for 25 million.
I mean, to do it twice
money.
Though, because they've already done it with Jota.
I think Adam Ida will flourish because Kyogo's went. I really do. I think because he knows he's going to be the main striker, I think he'll flourish between now and the end of the season.
Well, let's hear from him on that. By the way, Sean, that your first time calling, did you say?
Yeah, mate, first time.
Need to do it again, surely. That was a joy on both parts. I hope the feeling was mutual.
Cheers, lads. No, it was nice. And also, can I just ask you a question before you let me go?
Oh, I'm now worried that he's about to ruin it all. Go on,
no,
Sean.
No, it's just, overall, right, do you guys think that social media, when it comes to clubs, players and stuff like that, do you think it has more of a negative impact than a positive one? Because it seems like all you see is the negative stuff. It's rare that you go see the opposite and it's like all positive. Just want your opinion separately, if that's all right.
Sean's taking us deep. I would say yes, but I think there's that sort of wider societal thing and not just limited to football. Yeah?
Yeah. I think generally most things people like to complain a little bit rather than talk about the positive aspects.
At the start,
there are some things, of course, you know, that some clubs get their own social media, I think, is very positive, and you know, they sell the clubs very well. But I think particularly when fans are airing their views, most times they'll go on it when they're displeased.
Yes, I agree. I think it can be a very negative place.
Sean, I think there's a week's worth of shows in that question. Yeah. Never mind 2 minutes, but that was brilliant, Sean. Make sure you call us again, will you?
We're spoiled, and I need to say a few fans to realise 15 of the last 16 leagues I think we've won. We're spoiled. Let's just enjoy this while it lasts. It's not going to last forever. Enjoy it.
I love his passion. Thank you very much, Sean and Maryhill. We will speak again, I hope. Right, this teaser: since 2014-15, 9 goalies have made at least 10 appearances for Celtic or Rangers in a single season, but they've not been the official number one. Like John McLaughlin was number 33. You got him. Scott Bain, number 29. You got him.
Was Fraser Fosser the first time he was there?
Yes, actually, no, the second time, I think. Time, yeah. 67 he was, well done.
Jack Anick?
Yep, Jack Anick, well done. And we'll get the rest of these and kick off at Celtic Park when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Let's quickly go back to Celtic Park because kickoff is not far away. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, not far away at all. Just waiting for the players to come out the tunnel. They will do any moment now, but no doubt the main attraction for Celtic fans tonight is the return to Celtic Park for Jota. He's not just back, but he's into the starting lineup for tonight. He had that goal-scoring cameo on Sunday against Motherwell at Fir Park. That was enough to convince Brendan Rodgers that he is ready to go in from the start today, and very likely he's hoping to build up his fitness ahead of facing Bayern Munich here in a week's time, with Daizen Maeda out suspended for that game. Adam Ida is once again leading the line for Celtic. He's had two impressive showings as he looks to step up after the sale of Kyogo. Can he score for the third successive game, a feat he last managed in September. That is the team that's making their way out now. Callum McGregor leading the team out, of course, the Celtic captain who made his 500th appearance for the club at the weekend. He was presented with a commemorative shirt by Brendan Rodgers before this game with the number 500 on the back. The Dundee team out alongside Celtic. They've been going pretty well since the turn of the year until Hearts came knocking on Saturday. 6-0 defeat in that game at Dens Park. That really will have hurt Tony Docherty and his players, who will be really keen to bounce back tonight. But they'll have to do it without Rangers-bound Lyle Cameron, because he is out of this game with an Achilles injury. That's been confirmed by Tony Docherty. He said that he played the match on Saturday with that issue, and medical staff had advised that two games in a week was a stretch too far. So he will sit out of this game, despite the fact that he made the journey down with the team. I'll just give you the changes for both sides. Ralston, McCowan and Kuhn out for Celtic. In come Johnston, Engels and Jota. So Kasper Schmeichel in goal for the host tonight. Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor across the back. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Arnie Engels and Rio Hatate. Jota and Daizen Maeda either side of Adam Eder. The substitutes for them tonight, Sinisalo, Scales, Kuhn, Yang. New signing, Jeffrey Schlupp is in there. Could he make his debut tonight? McCowan, Kenny, Bernardo and Ralston also in there for Dundee. They've made three changes. Clark Robertson has dropped out of the starting lineup. Samuels as well. Lyle Cameron, as I mentioned, out of the squad altogether. Portales, Ingram and Finn Robertson come in. So Trevor Carson in goal for them. Ryan Astley, Juan Portales and Aaron Donnelly across the back. Josh Mulligan and Ethan Ingram are the wing-backs for Dundee tonight. Finn Robertson, Mohamed Silla and Cesar Garza are the three central midfielders. And it's always shown Adewumi and Simon Murray up top. The substitutes, McCracken, McGee, Larkesh, Clark Robertson, Tiffany, Palmer Holden, Shaughnessy, Samuels and Lopez. The Celtic team just breaking out of their huddle, and we are just about to get underway for Celtic against Dundee at Celtic Park.
Go on then, you two, scoreline predictions, please.
I'm going to go for 3-0 Celtic.
Routine 4. One above routine, I would call that. There we go, just making it up as we go along. Thank you very much to Andrew McLean. If there's anything you need to know in the opening stages of the game, we will tell you about it. William is a Rangers fan. How's it going, William?
Hello, Gordon, Jim and Callie.
Hi, William.
How's it going, William?
I was just a wee bit traumatised there listening to that Celtic music before I came on the screen.
I thought you were going
to
hang up.
I had you joining in, William, no. Sure did.
Aye, that'll be right. it's the Europa League squad you were talking about.
Yes.
It's a no-brainer. Get down to the bookies. It's Mansala, Danilo and Hadji.
Is it that simple? You're leaving out your new signing?
Wait a minute. See this boy, Mansala, Gordon, right? See your man suiting proper. They better be looking at other shoulders, because this boy can maybe put one of them out of the team. That's how good he's going to be, I think.
Here's the thing. It's not even that I disagree. It's such an apples and oranges type thing, because it's just the fact that he's a new signing. I'm not saying he's better than Nsala. I have no idea, obviously, because I've not seen him. It's just the...
I'm guessing, you know, we're both myself and Cammy guessing that he would have spoken to the managers, Philip Clement, who must have sold the club to him. And part of that selling of the club would be, I'm sure, European nights. So you would imagine that he would have to be one of them. I do take William's point that Nsala has got, he's committed to the team. He certainly hasn't let anyone down. He looks composed. He's got left-sided. He's got balance. He certainly looks a player. It's just, if you're a manager, it's a slightly easier decision to leave a young player from a European squad. Because a European squad, you don't know how long it's going to last. It could be two games. It could be four. It could be whatever. But as long as he's involved, I think, in first team football on a relatively regular basis, he won't be too disheartened. And I think that's the reason why Fernandez might get the nod over Nsala.
You not think that's a possibility, William? Just it's a sort of safer option to leave Nsala out?
Nah, no chance, God. I think that boy's going to get picked. Just that we'll get three new signings, like, for this Europa League. Right, last time last year we had Benfica, I think, last 16. What a chance they've got to get to the quarterfinals with this Europa League. We'll get 20, was it 20? Bodo Glimt, Fenerbahce and Anderlecht.
Yep.
What a chance we have got to get the quarterfinals.
Because no Champions League teams drop in anymore, Cam.
No.
So that's the obvious difference.
What I would say as well is, though, Fernandez is on loan, right? So do you look after your own players? Nsala is a player who's
an option to buy Fernandez, yes. Isn't it? Not an obligation.
An option, yes. But again, Nsala has had such an impact since he's came in, really positive. As William's saying, Luke's a right good player. He's only played 5 games or so, but he looks a top player. He's very, very young as well. So do you try and look after your own player first and foremost? And listen, I think he deserves to be there. So it is a big decision, and I would like to see Ince Alli in the squad, but we'll wait and see.
Thank you very much to William. It was some fair points, well made. We'll see. We'll see in the fullness of time how that squad looks. We will find out what option Philippe Clement decides to choose. But you've been impressed with Ince Alli, Jim? You're a centre back connoisseur.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks composed. I like the fact that, you know, he's a kind of modern day centre back where he's comfortable on the ball. He takes the ball forward, and I think that managers nowadays, listen, you know, maybe people in my era would look at defensive qualities first and foremost. That's not always the case now. People look about how he can start building the game. You know, how does he read the game? Has he got pace? Is he athletic? All these sort of things. And I think he definitely ticks a lot of those boxes.
He's physical as well, though. Yeah. He likes to mix it up. He's not scared to do that. So he's
positionally. I think that nowadays with your fullbacks either higher or inverted, I think you've got to be a little bit more athletic, and I think he gives Rangers that balance. Yep, he's not uncomfortable getting dragged into channels, and defenders have to be more comfortable in these situations.
I know he's not an academy product of Rangers, but he's still a young player, and I wonder if it's another example of why. And I know we hear all this, if they're good enough they'll get a chance, but that isn't always the case. Sometimes you need the chance, you need that environment, because you all know what it's like, and I don't think it's become a secret. People, you know, Rangers will play bounce games. Ince Alli's been there. The reports that you were hearing weren't that, oh, this guy's a sensation, just wait till you see him. They were kind of the opposite, right? And I don't mean to sound unfair. And he's only in because of injuries.
Yeah,
but he has done well. So should we not be thinking along those lines for all young players, rather than saying that they will find their way through if they're good enough? They might not. They might need the opportunity to prove it.
Totally. And again, when he first came, a lot of people were asking the question, where is he? We signed him from AC Milan. Where is this player? And as you say, there was reports that he maybe wasn't performing with B the B team or in bounce games, but he's stepped up when it's came to the big stage, and he's had to do it, and he's been thrown. And as you say, Gordon, sometimes it's just that little bit of luck you need. But what I would say is he's taken his chance. Everyone's talking about him now. We now know he's a top player and can play at that level, but he needs to keep going. He needs to keep continuing his progression.
Early stages of the game between Celtic and Dundee, nothing really to tell you about yet, but I want to get your thoughts on the lineup, Jim, because I think, not that this is a surprise as such, but just that it's confirmed from the start, where Jota on the left, Maeda on the right. Mm-hmm. Is that the best balance? I mean, Maeda's done so well off the left this season.
Yeah, I'm a wee bit surprised at that. I think they will flip during the game. I think that's probably something that Brendan Rodgers will say, particularly maybe, you know, you might see set plays, corners in particular, where they might flip over for 10 or 15 minutes either side. So that gives the Dundee defence something to think about. But yeah, but because Maeda has done so well recently and was outstanding again at the weekend against Motherwell on the left-hand side, I'm a wee bit surprised he's not in his preferred position, which is left. But I think you will see them flipping. And again, you've likes a Kuno on the bench. We're talking about Celtic and not signing strikers. Their goal threat comes from more than just a centre forward. Likes a Jota scoring a goal, Maeda scoring a goal at the weekend, both wide players. Kuhn has been exceptional from a wide area. So yeah, plenty of options for Celtic. So a wee bit surprised that Maeda's been moved to the right.
Okay, let's round off this teaser before we go then. Jota's already had a couple of tricks and flicks that are exciting the Celtic fans. How are you doing on it? Can you name 9 goalies since the 14-15 season, 9 goalkeepers who've made at least 10 appearances for Rangers or Celtic in a single season, but they've not had number 1 on their back? So John McLaughlin, Jack Anick, Scott Bain, Fraser Forster. What else you got?
Craig Gordon.
Yep, he was 26.
Steve Simonson.
Yes, 31.
Can we pull that one out of the bag? I'm not sure if he was number 1 or not. I know he was number 1 kind of goalkeeper. Wes Ford.
Yeah, number 25. Well done.
Was he?
Okay, there 2 more to get.
Doris De Vries.
Yes.
There we go.
That's what I'm going to De Vries bit.
And maybe the most obvious one for last. You just, to state the obvious, you've just forgotten this guy didn't wear number 1, because in every sense of the word,
he was number 1.
He was the number 1.
Which team?
Celtic.
Joe Hart,
number 15.
There we go.
Just shows you, we don't even pay attention. Right, nothing doing yet in the Celtic Dundee game, apart from what you would expect. It's sort of all Celtic pressure and going forward, but they've not really managed to carve out anything significant in the opening stages. Whatever happens though, we look back on it tomorrow. Is it going to be a Jota masterclass? Are Celtic going to win comfortably as Adamida continue his goals, or have we got a shock result on the cards? Because that would really shake things up if Dundee could get something. So whatever it is, we look back on it tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL will be here. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.